Praise the Lord. God is a good God. Amen. Come on, look at your neighbor for a moment. It might require some faith, but look at them eye to eye for a moment. Say, neighbor. Come on, look at them. Say, neighbor. Smile. You look better that way. The psalmist says in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you happy to be here? Well, that's, I think, 11 people. Are you happy to be here this morning? Yes. Come on, let's give the Lord a great hand clap this morning. God's word is true and God's promise is yes and amen. Where two or three are gathered, Jesus said, there am I in their midst. Amen. This morning, just have a very simple message for you this morning. Yesterday, last night, I spoke at the 5 o'clock service and I talked about the friendly counsel of God, that God's counsel is always not distant but very much available to you and me. And so this morning, I'm going to kind of do almost like a part two to it. And the reason I wanted to do something like this is because I feel like a lot of people, sometimes we come to church, sometimes we hear preachers and we have no clue what they said. It's kind of like the F1 race. You know, have you been to the F1 race? Like you go there, you just hear sound, zoom, and you don't even know what went by. Right? And sometimes our services are like that. Not here, I'm talking about the other. So the title of my message this morning is Making Godly Decisions. Making godly decisions. The Bible says multitudes in the valley of decisions. So I want to just kind of walk you through just some simple scripture verses and just kind of guide you along this journey this morning. And so if there's anything, you can always take pictures of the slide. This, if God speaks something to you, write something down. I always tell people, when you come to church, have something to write down. Why? Because if you're willing to record what God says, God is willing to speak to you. God thought his word is so important, he wrote it down himself. And if you don't have any place to write down, after the book of Malachi, there's always a blank page. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that the Holy Spirit that you have sent lives inside of us, who guides us, who leads us, who is the perfect teacher. And this morning, Lord, I'm asking by the Holy Spirit that you bring revelation, understanding, light, and direction into our lives. And we trust you, Holy Spirit, to lead. More than what I can say, Holy Spirit, you make a deposit in the lives of your people. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. How do you look at the future? When you look at the future, you have two choices. Number one, you can look at the future with great apprehension. Like sense of uncertainty, sense of like, I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. Or you can look at the future with a great sense of anticipation. That you know what? God has given me time. Why? To fulfill his purposes through my life. Amen. The Bible says, the psalmist writes, actually Moses who writes, teach me to number my days that I may gain a heart of wisdom. Right? The psalmist writes in Psalm 84, he said, listen, one day in the courts is better than elsewhere. But the decision is up to you and me. You can choose how you want to use your time. You can choose where your investments will be. You can choose the quality of relationship that you can have. Your whole life is determined by the choices that you make. One of my favorite verses is found in the book of Ephesians chapter number 5 and in verses 15 onwards, the Amplified reads something like this. It says, look carefully then how you walk, like how you live your life. Can we just read it all together on the screen? Can we do that?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, wow, three people. Can we do that?
Yes.
Listen, this is yes, this is no, this is I don't care. Okay, and so this is not a funeral service, so you don't have to sit quiet, okay? You can just kind of engage with the word this morning, okay? And so we are not reading a false document, we are reading the living, written word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, and so let's read together. This is not a competition who can finish first, okay? Let's do it in unison, okay? 3, 2, 1. Look carefully then how you walk. Live and not as, but as sensible, intelligent people, making and God. Amen. I like this because Paul says, writing to the church in Ephesians, he said, listen, look carefully how you're living your life, how you are walking out the purpose of God. Is your life described by these words that, you know what? You are living life purposefully. You are living life accurately according to the plans and purposes of God. You are living life worthily of what God has called you towards. He says, listen, the Bible says, use your brains. That's the NIV, Nikki's International Version. He says, listen, don't be stupid. He says, you are wise, sensible, intelligent. Come on, look at your neighbor for a moment. Look at them eye to eye for a moment. Say, neighbor, you are a wise, intelligent human being. I know they said other things on the way to church, but hey, we're just undoing what they said to you. Anyway, the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, listen, I place before you life and death. I place before you blessing and cursing, that you would choose life. Amen? That you would choose life. And so it's up to you and me. Our life goes the direction of our decisions. And one of the biggest things in our life, it could be just a decision that would change everything in your life. You know, when you look at the scripture, you begin to realize that, listen, it's not important where we are heading. What's more important is the choices that we make daily, because they determine where we are going to end up. I like some quotes. You know, someone said something like this. The roads we take are more important than the goals we announce. Decisions determine destiny. And so the question this morning is, what are some of the best decisions you've ever made in your life? Maybe after service today and you go out for lunch or you go out for coffee to somebody, it's a great conversation. Maybe at the table, you ask somebody, hey, can you tell me some of the best decisions that you made in life? Or maybe you could do the reverse. Hey, can you tell me some of the worst decisions you made in life? Because where we are is because of the decisions that we've made sometime in our life. And so I put some people up on the screen, you know, Seth Godwin, the great marketer. He says, the best decision I've ever made is to start making decisions. Like some people, you know, they need to just start making decisions. Why? Because someone is always making the decision for them. Hello, somebody, don't look around. Why? Because sometimes we're in a tight spot. We don't have the freedom to make decisions. Someone else sitting next, someone else is always making the decision. And sometimes you need to start making decisions. Susie Orman, the great financial advisor, and of course, when I'm mentioning these names, I don't endorse their lives. I'm just looking at the quotes. She said, 15 years ago, the best decision I made is to remove some wrong people from my life. Hello, somebody. Some of you, your whole year will turn out completely good if you just get rid of some people in your life. Hello, somebody. Joel Austin, he said, the best decision I ever made is to marry my wife, Victoria. Wow. You know, Ariane Huffington, she said, the best decision I ever made is that I'm going to get 8 hours of sleep. Wow. Last year I read a book and it so impacted me. So I decided, you know, I'm going to get 8 hours of sleep. It's so easy, you know, because when I was younger, I could sleep 12 hours, like just like that. Now it's like, try melatonin, magnesium, do this, do that, cold, like all these things. And it's like nothing is working, you know. It took me one year just to bring myself to a place that I could sleep for 8 hours. Anyway. Some of you, that's all you need to hear. You can go home now. It's amazing. You just sleep 8 hours, all your health problems will go away. Anyway, Dr. Oz says the best decision he ever made is, of course, marrying his wife, you know. Sarah Heffler, one of the best-selling authors, a great writer, she says the best decision I ever made is to quit drinking. Some of you, anyway. Mark Hansen, he said, the best decision I ever made is to keep my heart open and not to let the things that have happened close life down. Moses, if you look at it in Hebrews chapter number 11, it says, by faith, Moses, and four times it uses action word. He says, he refused, he chose, he regarded, he left. These are all actions. These were all decisions that he had to make. And please understand, not so easy decisions. Not so easy decisions. You know, when you begin to start walking with God, the beginning of your life is always great, right? In the beginning, when you start walking with God, like, you don't even have to pray. You just have to think, like, I wish I had a lollipop. Somebody knocks on the door and brings a whole bag of lollipops. Wow, God is so good. I didn't even think about this. And God answered my prayer. This is the beginning stages of your life. In the beginning stages, you ask for $10, God gives you $100. In the beginning stages, everybody loves you. In the beginning stages, it's like, wow, Christianity is great, God is good, church is amazing. And then you start walking with God a little bit more and you start maturing and now you're praying and nothing's happening. Now you're praying and fasting, nothing's happening. Now everybody's greasing you with oil, you fall down for 10 hours, nothing is happening. It's like, God, where are you? What's happening? Did God leave me? And one of the things I realize is that as you mature with God, it's no longer that you are living life based on quote-unquote encounters, based on quote-unquote supernatural thing. You're living life based on decisions that you're going to have to make daily. Am I making sense? Decisions that you're going to have to make daily in your life. And so, I don't know, maybe some of you are thinking like, I'm tired of making bad choices and I'd like to start making some good choices. Maybe some of you are saying that I'm actually facing a crucial decision right now and I want to make sure that I get it right. Or maybe some of you are saying, I'm really struggling to know how to handle certain situations in my life. I want to say to you that God is more committed to showing you his will than anybody on this planet. He is willing to help you, help make decisions. He is willing to guide you. The Bible says in Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my own eye. God's guidance is available to us. The Bible says that his word is a lamp unto our feet. What does that mean? That means in my present today, I can see clearly what to do. Not only that, he's not only a lamp unto my feet, but he's a light unto my path. That means, listen, I can see the way ahead. Isaiah 46:10, I'm the God who lets you know the end from the beginning. I can see ahead. I can see 2028. I can see 2030. Why? Because his word lights up the way. Am I making sense to you today? And so when it comes to the will of God, I always tell people that there are three things regarding the will of God. That number one, the will of God is scripted. What does that mean? That means there are parts of the will of God that he has ordained for your life. He has written it in the books. It's going to happen just the way that he said it's going to happen. Like, they are scripted. They are written. Before the foundation of the world, he wrote certain things down, and your life is going to go the direction of those things. They are scripted. Not everything, but there are parts of your life that have been scripted. Number two, the second character of the will of God is that it is spirit-led. That means there are certain things that you are not going to walk into that God has for your life unless you learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, verse 14, that as many that are sons, listen, they are led by the Holy Spirit. And so you got to really learn what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit, to walk in certain directions and certain doors in your life. They're not going to happen automatically. It is learned by action. It is learned by faith. Is learn knowing this, that I must discern the voice of the Lord. Have the courage to walk in that direction. And number three, there are certain things or certain parts of the will of God that are shaped. What does that mean? That simply means this, that there are things that God will not do in your life until first He prepares you, increases your capacity, does some work in your life. Why? So that you can handle the direction and the places and the doors He opens for your life. And so sometimes it is painful. Why? Because we feel like, God, what are you doing in my life? Where is this all going? This seems painful. But please understand, it is God who is actually shaping, preparing, doing things that you can't understand because He's the shepherd. His eyes are here. You are the sheep. Your eyes are here. He can see things that you can't see. Am I making sense to you? And so there are certain things that happen in your life because they are shaped. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 23, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their life. God is interested in the details of your life. One of my favorite quotes when it comes to this is by Charles Swindoll. He says something like this. He says, it's easier for me to know God's will for my wife than it is for me to know God's will for my life. Isn't it amazing that we always know what everybody else should do? Of course, I've got a word for you. But we don't have a word for ourselves. Am I making sense to you, right? And then so people are always thinking, well, what is the next step in my career? What is the next step in my ministry? What is the next step in my family? Lord, how do I make those decisions? How can I know the will of God? How can I look past everything that is happening and discern where is it that you are leading me so that I can make the decisions to go that route? There are some things that are amazing in the Bible. In Acts chapter number 8, we find the story that Philip was in this particular city and there was great revival going on. People were getting saved. People were getting delivered from demons. People were getting healed. People were getting set free. I mean, there was a move of God in the city. And suddenly God comes, picks him up and takes him in the backside of the desert, middle of nowhere. There is nothing happening. There is like nothing. I mean, nothing meaning nothing. I mean, nothing meaning like nothing. There's not even a gas station. There's not even a petrol pump. There's not even like some kind of eating place. It's just in the middle of nowhere. And if there were some counselors, elders, church people there, they'll say to him, hey, listen, you're missing God. You are missing God. This is the wrong place. You should be placed where the revival is. You should be placed where God is moving. You should be at a place where things are happening. But can I tell you something? Philip was in the exact place where God wanted him to be. Why? Because we don't live by what's happening on the external. We live by the decisions that we make according to the will of God for our lives. And so in the present, it might not seem like anything's working. In the present, it might seem like everything's dead and dry. But there is a direction that the Holy Spirit is taking where we cannot see things, but He is leading us in the path that He has ordained for our lives. Am I making sense to you? And so as you walk with God, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to create some things. You're going to have to look at the Word. You're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit to help you build some templates, build some processes, build some ways of doing things. The Bible says something like this, that the children of Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. Why? He knew processes. He knew how God does things. And so when you know how God does things, you can cooperate with God. There are so many people, they live life in the sense of the acts of God, but they don't learn the ways of the Lord. They're always wanting another miracle, always wanting another miracle, always wanting. Listen, it's great. I like miracles. I want miracles. But I don't want to live in a place where I'm always needing a miracle. Right? Because miracle life is in the wilderness. Miracles are for the wilderness. But for the promised land, you live in the blessing. What is the blessing? I don't need a miracle, but listen, I can be a miracle for you. Right? I can affect, I can bring change, I can add something to your life. I can be the channel, the door to add miracles in your life. That's living in a place of blessing. Am I making sense to you? And not everything is going to be dramatic. Matter of fact, some of the things I realized in my life, that some of the best things that happened in my life were not dramatic. Were just everyday boring stuff. And in the midst of everyday boring stuff, God did incredible things that changed my life and put me on the right path. But over the years, I learned to do two things. And this is what I want to talk about for the next few moments. Number one, I learned to create what I call a decision filter. That means when I'm making some important decisions, I bring up my filter and I say, I ask some questions. Right? And number two, when I need, in a sense, the attention of God, when I need, like God, I need to hear from God, then I design a checklist. Hey, I need to do this, this, this. Why? Because I want to posture myself. I cannot manipulate God. I can't make him do anything. But I can posture myself where I can hear from him. Am I making sense? And so I'm going to do it in two parts very quickly. Number one, I'm going to talk to you regarding my decision filter. Why? So that you can maybe copy it, or maybe you can create your own, or you can ask the Holy Spirit, help me, Holy Spirit, to create some kind of filter that I'm making some important decisions, right? Now, this is for important decisions. This is not whether you should eat chicken rice or pizza. Okay. This is like those things that are going to affect your life, right? You're going to take it seriously. Why? Because there are changes that are going to take place. And so this is my decision-making filter. It's five questions that I always ask. Number one is the question of integrity. Am I being honest with myself? That means when I'm going to make this decision, why am I making? Is integrity questioned? Am I just doing this to please people? Am I just making this decision because I want to keep the peace? I'm going to compromise. Why? Because I'd rather have peace than then. Is it full of integrity? Am I making this decision because I got no voice in this matter? Because why? Because my pastor told me this, my dad told me this, my boss told me this, so I've got to have to do it. And so there are a lot of people, they've made decisions and got fooled and in a sense got made to decide things that were not really a decision of integrity. Hello, somebody. And so I always ask am I being honest with myself? I mean, is this really me obeying God? Or is this me being in a pressure cooker, being forced? Hello, somebody. Number two, I ask what I call the legacy question. What is the legacy question? What story do I want to tell? What does that mean? That means that once I make this decision, whether it's a decision to leave a church, whether it's a decision to change a job, whether it's a decision to move somewhere else, whether it's a decision of a relationship, and 5 years later, I want to tell the story of that decision. What kind of story am I going to tell? Is the story really going to really highlight the purposes of God? Is it going to highlight God's intervention and God's leading? Or is it going to be a painful story? Hello, somebody. I always ask this question, what is the Holy Spirit nudging in my heart? What is the Holy Spirit nudging in my heart? Why? Because there are some decisions, everything looks perfectly. Everything lines up. I mean, yes, this is the right kind of job. I mean, it's paying me more money, giving me more time. The company is much bigger than what I'm at. And everything makes sense. But inside, there's an uneasiness. Inside, there is something that deserves attention. Inside, there's like, hey, you need to kind of look at this. And I made some decisions where everything on the outside looked perfect, But to listen to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, it's my decision filter. I ask, what is the maturity question here? What is the wise thing to do? Not the right thing, not the ethical thing. What is the moral, legal? What is the wise thing to do? And I began to realize, as I walk with God, we move past the decisions of right and wrong, because sometimes those decisions are much easier. But it's very hard to make what I call wise decisions and foolish decisions. Because something can be right, but not wise. Am I making sense? Matter of fact, the whole of New Testament, it's full of these stories. It's full of it. Like in the New Testament, for example, when you talk about eating, it's like you can eat anything, but is it wise? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? And so number five, I look at it and I say, like the relationship question, what does love require me to do in this situation? Right? Why? It's not about me. It's about how I'm going to show love to this person, to this, is going to exhibit the love of God in these matters. Am I making sense to you? Why? Because you're going to come, sit down. You got to realize that, hey, the decisions I make is going to impact. I can't take it lightly. Because everybody might be pleased, but I got to stand before God and answer. Did I walk through the doors that God opened? Did I honor and steward the relationships that God brought into my life? Did I steward properly the resources he put in my... You're going to have to answer. And so your decisions matter. And so everybody might like you, and you might please everybody, but you might be offending God. And so can I tell you something? I rather offend men than to offend God. Am I making sense? Yeah. Number two, let me switch to the second side. And I know my time is like only 5 minutes, but I'm just going to walk fast through this. This is my checklist. That means that every time I'm making a decision and I feel like I need to get God's attention, I need to get God's involvement in this matter, this is my checklist. Again, this is a checklist. That means like you don't, is this not a vending machine that you put something in, you get something out? You can't control God. You can't manipulate God. Please get that in your mind, right? But this is a checklist. Why? These are things that we see in the Bible that people did, right? And so we can look at that and be led by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, do I need to walk through this door to really receive something from the Lord? Am I making sense to you? Right? And so there are a few things that are in my checklist, right? Number one, I got 10 things I'm going to walk you through. Number one, on my checklist, I always check the pride element. Check the pride element. Why? The Bible says he leads the humble in doing right, teaching him his ways. The Bible says the proud he knows from afar. And so if God seems distant, I check the pride element in my life. Hello, somebody. Check the pride element. Number two, I posture myself through worship. I posture myself through worship. Now, please understand, please get this out of your head. When you think worship, don't think music. Don't think songs, right? For example, the Bible says, and the wise men came and worshiped Jesus. They didn't come and sing verse one, verse two, bridge and chorus. Hello, somebody, right? Like people think worship, where's my phone? Let's my playlist. Let's play some slow songs because God can only speak in slow songs, not fast songs. And we make up these stupid things in our mind, right? But listen, when I say posture, I'm talking about coming before the Lord and humbling yourself. The Bible says, Acts 13, and they worship the Lord, and the Holy Spirit said, separate to me. The Bible says this very clearly, that when we worship the Lord, is coming and posturing. And most of the time in the Bible, most of the time, it's two things that are side by side. It's kneeling before the Lord. Why? Because you're saying, God, even my highest like is still lowest compared to you. It's falling flat, prostrate before the Lord. You go through the Bible. Those people that were there, when they worshiped the Lord, they knelt before the Lord. Today, we don't have any kneeling. Why? Because once you cross a certain age, it's like, well, I am 40 years old, you know. My knees are... Like, can you imagine God? Oops, sorry, I gave you 70 years of life, but only 40 years of knees, you know, sorry. Like, kneel before the Lord. Right? You're at home, kneel before the Lord. Hello, somebody. And bring your life in encounter with Him. Number three, very quickly. Third checklist I do is I plant a financial seed. I always take some money and I say, you know what? I'm going to sow this cheerfully. I'm going to sow this. Why? I'll walk you through the screen. On the screen, you can see some of these verses that are there. In Genesis chapter number 46, the Bible says, and Jacob came, and what did he do? He offered sacrifice to the Lord. What happened? God showed up. 1 Kings chapter number 3, here was Solomon. What did he do? He offered a sacrifice. He offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar at Gibeon. The Lord appeared to Solomon. 1 Kings chapter number 8, verse 62-63. Again, Solomon offered sacrifices. Solomon offered to the Lord a peace offering of 22,000 cattle, 120,000 sheep. My goodness. And goats, all right? What happened? And God showed up. And God showed up. 1 Kings chapter number 9, they offered sacrifice to the Lord, and the heavens opened, and the Lord spoke. 2 Chronicles chapter number 5, verse 6, verse 12 and 13, they offered sacrifice unto the Lord, and God spoke. Like, there is something about giving that postures your heart, right? And say, God, I don't need anything material. Lord, it's not you're buying God's favor, it's not buying something. What you're saying is because money is a connection to our worldly things. It's an emotional connection that stops us from everything else. And we're saying, God, I release everything in the natural. God, what I want is what's upon your heart, not what's in my hand. And so I always plant a seed. Number four, very quickly, I pray in the Holy Spirit with interpretation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 13, it says, when you pray in an unknown tongue, you do not speak to men, but you speak to God. But when you speak in an unknown tongues, you also pray that you may have the interpretation. And so many times I'm praying in the Spirit. And I stop. And then I pray, Lord, I just prayed in tongues regarding this situation. Now, Lord, would you give me the interpretation? And at that time, what the Holy Spirit speaks to me, what the Holy Spirit maybe gives me a picture of something, or why he's going to speak. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. That when you pray in tongues and then you pray for the interpretation, he'll give you the interpretation. Hello, somebody. Number five, I add fasting. I say, you know what, hey, maybe I need to take some time out, right? And humble myself. How? Through fasting. The psalmist writes and says, Lord, I've esteemed your word. That means what are you going to speak to me? I've esteemed it higher than my necessary food. Number six, my checklist. I consider the warning signs. What does that mean? That means, hey, in this situation, am I being aware of what is taking? Do I see certain patterns, certain processes? Do I see certain things that are happening in and around? Am I taking notice that there are some warnings going on that I don't need to take this job? I don't need to go to the doctor. I don't need to do this. There's some warnings. It's amazing how many times when something tragic happens, people will come and say, you know what? I wasn't supposed to go to the doctor. I knew I should have got on that plane. Why? Because they didn't consider the warning signs. Number eight. Sorry, seven. Have I considered the counsel of my community? You know, people like I don't know about you, but in my church, I got some crazy people. Right? These people, they are very like they have a hairdresser. I mean, they only like to go to one person to do their hair. They will not let anybody touch their hair. Like some of them drive 1 hour away to see because that's the only guy that they trust with their hair. I mean, like They say, well, that guy's an expert. There's some people in my church, like that's the only guy who can touch my car, you know? I mean, they only go to that one mechanic. They will not let anybody. Why? Because on their list, they have this expert plumber, expert hair person, expert whatever doctor. They'll only turn. The sad part is none of them have some expert people who pray and hear God. Like, can I ask you a question? Who's in your circle that you trust? You can say, you know, I can pick up the phone, call that person, and I know that person hears God and he'll speak into my life. Do you have some people like that in your life? The Bible says there is safety in the multitude of counselors. Number 8, very quickly, does the matter align with my convictions? You gotta learn to live life like what is the set of convictions that over a period of time that is not just in the pieces of paper in the Bible, but those things have come as a revelation, as part of your life. And are you living life out of those set of convictions? Number 9, is the pressure of time forcing me to make a premature decision? It's amazing how many people get hasty in doing things. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. It's like sometimes some decisions that we make, it's out of haste. Sometimes I tell people, hey, sleep over it. Don't make it right now. Take some time. Like, the world's not going to end tomorrow morning. Right? Sometimes people, out of pressure, make decisions. Lastly, when you're making the decision, I make a checklist. Have I considered the transition period? Have I considered the transition period? What does that mean? That means every major decision in your life is going to affect you financially. It's going to affect you emotionally. It's going to affect you physically. It's going to affect you spiritually. And did you consider the transition phase? Why? Because sometimes you can make the right decision, but if you don't put in the transition, it will backfire. One of my friends wrote a book called Who Moved My Pulpit? And actually in the business world, there was a book called Who Moved My Cheese? And so he wrote on top of that, Who Moved My Pulpit, you know, and the story he writes, and I'll tell you the story and I'll close, that one day this church hired a new preacher because the preacher died and the board got together and you know, and they wanted to get a new pastor, new preacher for their church. And so they were doing interviews, and every few weeks some preacher would come, and so they liked this guy, this preacher came, but the problem was his first Sunday in that church for the last 25 some years, the pulpit was always on the right side of the stage. And so he came, he looked at it, he picked up the pulpit and put it all the way in the center and started preaching that Sunday. But these elders, they are not listening to the message, they are looking at the pulpit. How dare this guy, his first time in our church, first Sunday preaching, who told him, who does he think he is? We've always done the pulpit. Do you know who bought that? Do you know when we got that pulpit? Do you know how this happened? It was right there. They didn't listen to the message. After the message got over, they took him to the side, took him to the boardroom. He said, how dare you move the pulpit? We're going to give you another chance. They moved the pulpit back. Next Sunday he came, he moved the pulpit 2 inches and he preached. Following Sunday, 2 more inches, he preached. Following Sunday, 6 more inches, he preached. In 6 months, the pulpit was right in the center and nobody noticed. That's called transition. Do you know you get sick? Do you know when you get sick physically? When you're in transition. When it comes from cold to, you never get sick when it's hot. You never get sick when it's cold. It's in the transition months. It's in America, we call it the springtime. It's always in the fall time. Why? Because you're adapting. It's not so easy. Am I making sense? I just wanted to say something practical to you this morning, and I hope you take some of the things that I've talked about and take it seriously. Why? Because your whole life is based upon the decisions that you are going to make. It's up to you. Nobody can make it for you. Nobody can do it for you. You've got to learn to make some wise decisions according to the will of God. Because your life is going to go. We can pray all we want for you. You can come. We can grease you with oil. You can fall down. But nothing will happen in your life till you make some decisions. Would you stand with me in prayer? Are you okay this morning?
Yep.
Was that helpful to you this morning?
Yep.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You're not saying yes just because you have to. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm just going to pray for you. Okay. Hallelujah. We just close your eyes for a moment and let's just put attention to the awareness of what the Holy Spirit is saying. Father, we just thank you once again. We thank you for the power of your word. And we thank you today, oh God, that we are in the mid of the year. In the sixth month of the year, in the month of June, and we got a rest of the year to look at. And Lord, there are a lot of people, Lord, they're maybe in a crucial place in their life of decisions, maybe in their family, maybe their workplace, maybe their finances, maybe their children, maybe with what the diagnosis the doctor called out and said, hey, you need to do this. Should they do it or not? Maybe it's the decision of school or university, whatever it is. Holy Spirit, would you come to them in a way that they've never experienced? Would you come as a guide? Would you come, I pray, oh God, as someone who can walk with them and bring clarity, bring understanding, and cause them to see the doors that they should walk through? And so I just bless them today that they are not only hearing the word, but I pray that you watch over it today. And even as they go out to lunch, go back to their houses, go back to their friends, go back to their family, Lord, they will start this conversation. Lord, what is the best decision that you have made? How did you come to that decision? What made you do that decision? And I pray, oh God, that even as they fellowship, that there will be an exchange and an impartation by the Spirit of God. And lastly, let me say this. If you are sick in your physical body right now, and you say, Pastor, I've got issues going on in my physical body. The doctors had diagnosed it like this. Then I want you to take your hand. I want you to put it where the sickness or where the issue is. I want to just pray for you. And then Pastor Sabrina is going to just come and close it out. And so let me just pray for you for healing right now. If you're like that person, just take your hand. Put it there. There's no healing in me. There's no healing in anybody. It's in the person of Jesus Christ that has come through the work of the cross 2,000 years ago. And so, Father, right now, even as people are laying their hands, I speak to every bone, every flesh, every blood vessel, every vein, every organ in the physical bodies represented here that are not in line with your word. I command right now, in Jesus' name, bodies be healed right now. Arthritis, melt and come out of the body in Jesus' name. Cancer, melt in the name of Jesus. Tumors, melt in blood disease, I pray, oh God. Even heart palpitations, even blood pressure issues, I pray, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Even skin conditions, in the name of Jesus. Line up to the word of God. Even neck issues, neck and head issues, in the name of Jesus. Line up to the word of God. And be made whole, I pray. Inflammation in the knees, we command. Line up in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak, Lord, cancellation, even to hip replacements, even to hip replacement. Hips align in Jesus' name and be made whole. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Just listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.